Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. John Potter, live and local. I just bonded with John Crawford. We just found out that we're both left-handers. Left-handers. John Crawford and Dave Burns here just told me something I didn't know about being left-handed. What is that, Dave?
You're the only ones in their right mind. Literally, that's left-hander operates from totally the right debatable. Side of their mind.
Well, I'm sorry, Craig, go ahead.
I said that's just totally debatable on that fact.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm not left-handed. I'm right-handed, but I use my left hand. And it's because when I was growing up, Dad forced me to eat with my right hand. And no, wait a minute.
With your left
hand. Now, it's so long ago. But anyway, he said, you can't be left-handed because you'll keep banging into people at dinner parties. If you eat with your left hand, you're going to, it's going to be difficult for you. And he was very big on dinner parties. Dinner parties were a thing back then. So he trained me to go from being a left-handed eater to doing everything with my right hand for that reason. So I know, fascinating stuff, isn't it? This is the stuff you pay airtime for to hear me talk about, isn't it? Okay, anyway, Douglas County Republicans are here. It's John Crawford and Dave Burns. Congratulations on a successful Lincoln Day dinner. Mr. Potter and his wife, Kathy, fully enjoed it. It was great, guys.
It was a wonderful event.
The governor, I was impressed. What a speaker. He's pretty funny. He's a regular guy. So it was a wonderful event. I hope it raised you a lot of money for the cause.
We did very well.
Yeah, outstanding. So what is next? I mean, you guys never seem to stop. You have a precinct meeting. Oh, that already happened too. What happened with the precinct meeting? We have to get up to date with you guys. We're getting close to the midterms, and we have to create some excitement and get people inspired to vote. And that's why you guys show up here every month here. So tell us what's new, John.
Well, let me back up just a minute and talk about the Lincoln Reagan dinner that we had on the 15th for just a minute. It was a massive event. We started off with capacity of 220 people, and with the demand that kept coming our way, CVI was very helpful with us, and we grew that to accommodate 240 people. It was a packed house, a little bit tight, but everybody was friendly, obviously, and enjoyed it. I want to thank Governor Lombardo and Lieutenant Governor Stavros Anthony for putting on some wonderful speeches for our guests, and then Gordon Chang was a home run. I've just been flooded with a lot of positive comments about that evening, and it's just a good feeling to see something come off that well. And Gordon Chang, just an American treasure, and did a great job, and I appreciate it.
Your whole organization is full of wonderful, kind people. They were very kind. Everybody was to my wife, who is a true blue Democrat. You guys had an enemy in your midst, but she had a ball. She had one, and everybody was so kind to her, and thank you so much. And CVI, boy, they know how to really host an event. That dinner was delicious.
You know, John, it's amazing because it takes a lot of people to put on a successful event that we had.
Yeah.
And you just wouldn't believe. You've seen the program and stuff like that. I just want to say thank you so much to those that are listening that was involved in this. It turned out fantastic, and we know who did it, and that's our members.
And you'll do it again next year.
Absolutely.
So, folks, next year, get the tickets to the Lincoln Day dinner. Your next event is the county convention.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Precinct, go ahead, John. On the precinct meeting that we had on the 7th, is a good event, and kind of, unfortunately, reinforced my concern about apathy. We didn't get the turnout we were hoping. We had about 70 delegates show up to our precinct meeting, and about almost all of those are going to be coming to our convention, and the number signing up for our convention on the 28th is growing. We had a lot of participation, however, from the people that did show up, inputs to the platform, a lot of plank and suggestions for altering the platform, and a lot of resolutions. I think we're up to 11 resolutions right now that we're going to be hearing at our convention on the 28th. We're strongly encouraging all Republicans in Douglas County to please find a way to make it to our convention on the 28th at the Senior Center.
How do they get in?
They can show up and sign out a delegate form and get admitted the morning of, or they can stop by our headquarters on 395 there and fill out a delegate form. There's a $35 fee to cover expenses and lunch. A box lunch is provided, and it's a full day affair as we go through the process of refining our platform, addressing resolutions that have been put forth, and electing delegates to the state convention, mm-hmm. as well as reelecting members of the DCRCC. Every 2 years, all DCRCC, Douglas County Republican Central Committee members, have to be re-voted in. So you basically start from zero on that day and reelect all the members back into DCRCC.
So this is next Saturday. Where and what time can people show up?
Show up at 8 o'clock at the Community Center in Douglas County on Waterloo, and it starts at 8, and it'll go to about 3:30.
All right, the 2026 election. Folks, we got to flip the Senate, right? Let's get going on that. Let's get people excited about that. What do we face here with the Senate race?
Well, what we're focusing on right now is the probability of the potential of flipping the Senate and having the majority red in the Senate. We had Senator Robin Titus come and talk to our committee on the 12th of February, and she talked about the same thing we're talking about. It's one, apathy, and two, getting ourselves off the couch and in the arena, because we have three very likely seats down in Clark County, Senate seats that we
State
can flip,
Senate, yeah.
8, 9, and 12. Candidates are well identified, and those districts are ripe for picking if we can get our house in order and get moving. And so from Douglas, we're going to be supporting that effort as well.
You think it's possible to get that Nevada Senate red?
Oh, yeah.
Very possible.
Definitely.
And if we don't do it, shame on us.
See how close we are, folks, to doing it? So,
John, let's talk about the reasons. Because that's what we need to hear sometimes. Why didn't we in the past? Mm-hmm. And the truth is, and I'm including myself, even though I voted and everything, we have an apathy going on in Nevada that we need, as Republicans, and we need to stop it. We need to start jumping in and saying, listen, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to vote. And that makes all the difference. Douglas County had been in the 90% range of voters, Republican voting. Last election, it was, I think it was 78%. I can't believe that. We need to step up in Douglas County, as well as every county across this state. There is no reason why we can't flip those three, other than we're not getting out to vote. So that's my challenge. This challenge is everybody needs to get out to vote.
Is hit a 90% turnout. So if you want voter ID, if you want election integrity, if you want reasonable legislation, common sense legislation, get out and do the work.
You mentioned voter ID. That's on the ballot again this year, because it has to go through twice. It won in 2024. We have to vote it in again for voter ID. But the rest of this ballot is huge. This is a major midterm election. Okay, let's run through it. Governor, Nevada governor, Nevada controller, Nevada lieutenant governor, Nevada attorney general, our secretary of state, our treasurer, congressional district 3, congressional district 4, of course, Mark Amadei retiring, and school board. All right, what do we say about those here? Let's start with CD2, Amadei's retirement and potential candidates. And our Democrats, they're sniffing blood here. They're making a move on our red congressional district 2. they're getting kind of excited about it too.
Yeah, so. there's a individual, Teresa Benitez Thompson, a former assembly majority leader, who is eyeing CD2. They think Amadei's retirement is, they're twisting that to reflect an opportunity for CD2 to go blue.
Well, there's like four Democrats.
And never since CD2 was created has it gone blue. But they're sniffing the waters. They're twisting the story to say people are fed up, people are angry and afraid. They're afraid of ICE. They're afraid of this. They're afraid of that. And they think that's teeing everything up for the Democrats. And I'm convinced and very hopeful that that's a mistake.
Well, we kind of have to worry a little bit to get people out to vote here.
Yes.
And there have been times in CD2 when it's a little too close for comfort when the vote came down, less than 15% advantage. So it's wide open. I mean, we don't know who the Republican is going to be.
There's a long list.
Yeah.
There's some higher potential names. And
who's your favorite Republican to run for that Amadei seat?
I'm not in a position to speculate on my favorite. As DCRCC chair, we're impartial. We're not endorsing at that level. But there are a number of very good Republicans in waiting to come in and make their mark. And so I'm indifferent along lines of who those might be. But I do know when you're looking on the Democrat side, you're looking at the potential of another Greg Kidd run, and you're not looking at Teresa Benitez Thompson, and you got to be fearful of that.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about how you folks can help the cause, keeping us red here in many districts, especially CD2. How can people get involved with the upcoming midterm elections and actually do something and make a difference for the cause? So we're going to talk about that next with the Douglas County Republicans, Douglas County Central Republican Committee. One more segment with them. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:18.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It's The Weekend with John Potter. 99.1 FM and in Lyon County, 92.3 FM News Talk.
John Potter, live and local, Douglas County Republicans. One more segment. Tell us about your election education plans for the local community. You have a very nice headquarters there in Gardnerville on the main drag, 395. What are you doing to get people psyched up for the midterms and educating them and getting people into the fold?
Yeah, we in December, our membership voted to go ahead and expand our headquarters office, and we took under lease the suite next door to our main headquarters.
A suite.
So we now have that suite, and it's available for us. We're starting to develop and advertise plans to bring in guest speakers, being candidates or other educational folks like our local county clerk treasurer Amy Bergens to talk about the election processes and what to expect and things like that. And we're going to have open mic nights. We're going to have exchange of ideas nights. We're not Charlie Kirk, but we're going to model that kind of exchange of ideas. We're going to have a lot of activity in there during the election process to keep people aware of the ballot issues, the candidates, and the issues amongst the debate.
How do you get people in the loop? What can people? Is there a Facebook page to join, or an Instagram, or what, John?
Well, we're gonna be advertising it on our website, douglasnvgop.org, and we're expanding our reach. We're also on X, DCNV Republicans, and we're going to be opening up a site on Instagram and Facebook, rejuvenating our Facebook presence. So we're going to try to get it out through social media as well as word of mouth and advertising where we can in the local community about the programs that are coming in, to trying to get the...
And you're going to post a meeting and say, invite people,
right.
The convention, come on down. DouglasNVGOP.com.
.org.
John, there's...
Oh, .org.
Okay.
.org.
.org.
Sorry.
John, there's also... a lot of things in the background. We have a fantastic communications people, part of our membership. They're involved. That's why the website is as good as what it is and nice. It's clear. There's always something going on that's new on there. So it's not something you look at the website and say, oh, I've read it. Now I don't have to look at it for a year. No, there's always something different. And especially in election year, you're going to see a lot of new things in there. It'll tell us where you can go, what's going on, what we're going to be doing. And so that information can be fed there. Also, communications. We want people to contact us. We'd be more than happy to come into the office during office hours. And there's always somebody there to talk with you and stuff. We're trying to reach out not only just to the Republicans, but also to the independents. We have a huge amount of independents, and I think about 75% of them would vote conservative.
The address of your headquarters again, is there a number on that?
It's 1507, U.S. Highway 395 North, Suite B and Suite C.
Minden or Gardnerville?
Gardnerville.
Gardnerville.
I know it as being next to the coolest thrift shop that I've ever been to.
It's real close to that.
Yeah. That's a good
it's right across the street from JJ's Mexican restaurant.
Are we planning any candidate meet and greets that people can get to meet the candidates?
Those have not been committed yet,
but you're going to
definitely planning them. We're planning constitutional classes. We're planning ballot initiative discussions. We're trying to get in the low propensity voters as well as the nonpartisan voters to have the exchange of ideas and discussions on the topics so we can maximize turnout in the election.
What's your next meeting going to be about? And folks, you're invited to that, the Gardnerville Elks Lodge. March 11th at 5:30 is your next meeting. Why should people go to your meetings?
Okay, March 11th is a big meeting for us because DCRCC will be having its biannual elections for executive board members. We call them additional representatives. Those are also our state representatives. They get nominated and elected in at the state level to the NVGOP, and they become representatives at that level as well. That's number one. Number two is, from here on in, every month in our meetings, we have a significant amount of our agenda saved at the back end of our meeting for any candidate running for office in Nevada can come up and introduce themselves and have a few minutes to talk to our membership and explain what they are all about, their platform, their policy statements, and things like that, and for our members to ask questions of them. And last month, it was Robin Titus and a few others. It was a really good exchange.
Dr. Titus.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, so March 11th, 5:30 p.m., Gardnerville Elks Lodge. Website, douglasnvgop.org. What's your X address?
@DCNV Republicans.
Okay, awesome. Did we miss anything? All right. I'm psyched about the election.
So keep an eye on our website and come to our meetings if you want to interface with the candidates or get good information. Drop by our office or come to any of our sessions, information sessions that we'll be holding, and I think we'll get things riled up here for the election.
Can people stop by the office and get like a bumper sticker for candidates? Or gosh, I sure would like to
eventually think. Yes, right now the materials have not come through. I think after the declaration period ends in mid-March, when everybody has got the paperwork in, you're going to start seeing a flood of literature and
signs,
swag
signs,
like that.
We got to bring back campaign buttons. I had so much fun wearing campaign. I do too. I really like that.
You're dating yourself, John.
You're a fun group. I can't tell you enough how much fun that we had at the Lincoln Day dinner.
We did too.
Yeah.
We had a fantastic time. And, you know, it just shows when people come together, they can really enjoy themselves without really getting into the depth of politics discussion. But hear good speakers, have good fellowship, good time together. We were joking at our tables and everything. We were having a blast.
Yeah.
And I just don't miss those. My wife and I make sure we're there.
The silent auction and the auction items that I put my name on several times. Gosh darn it.
Weren't those amazing?
You had some good stuff
the
there.
The folks that set up our auction, they did an outstanding job.
Where did you find this stuff to auction off of that?
It's the graciousness and generosity of the donors in our community, mm-hmm. and it's amazing what they come up with.
The wheelbarrow, right, exactly.
and it was a real pleasure being face to face with the governor. It was a great time. Thank you.
The beauty of it is our donors and sponsors come together, and they come with the attitude that this is a fundraiser, mm-hmm. and it goes to a good cause, and it lets us get to work. Now we're going to get to work.
All right, guys, give it one more time here. The website, check it out, and sign up, DouglasNVGOP.org. Dave, John, been a pleasure. And
thank you, John.
Getting excited and a little nervous about the upcoming midterms, but it's a big one. And that voter ID ballot question 7. Boy, we got to push that hard.
It's huge.
All right, thank you, John. We're going to break for Fox News. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:30.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT, 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local, my final half hour on this Saturday, every Saturday, 9 to noon on these radio stations. Dave and John, we were talking about the ballot this year in Nevada. They brought up voter ID. I'm glad they did, because I was trying to think, what do I talk about for a half hour? This is it. And I appreciate your call if you have a take on it, too, at 884-9910. Let me start with a poll that Channel 4 posted this week. It's a really good poll. A headline reads, "Why is Congress so divided over voter ID if 83% of Americans support requiring it?" And my answer is, the politicians are fighting it because voter ID makes it harder to cheat. Okay. The Channel 4 poll shows 56% of these people who answered the poll answered to why is Congress so divided over voter ID. 46% responded, it's opposition to President Trump's policies. Yeah, just because Trump wants it. That's also why they're opposed. Anyway, this comes up in Congress next week. The Senate Majority Leader says there will be a vote on the Save America Act after Congress returns next week. And it's on the ballot again in Nevada for our midterms. It's question 7. So we have it coming up in Congress next week. And the ballot again for our midterms here in Nevada. You talk about an issue in the United States where people can actually agree more or less, even Republicans and Democrats and vice versa. People can actually agree with an overwhelming majority of Americans, even an overwhelming majority of Democrats, probably the older ones. They have no problem with voter ID. They think voter ID is a good idea. I do, too. And I've never understood why this right to vote, which how many Americans have died trying to preserve, protect, and defend democracy. Yes, I know it's a republic. And then the sacred right to vote is basically not fully secure and monitored. Do you have a problem with that? Because I do. Will voter ID alone make elections, shall we say, more genuine? I believe the 2020 presidential election had some issues. Ain't no way Joe Biden racked up more votes than Barack Obama. You know, Joe was in an election where just about everybody got a mail-in ballot. Now, I can understand absentee ballots. I can understand ballots that people for whom it would be a major hardship to get themselves to a polling place mailed their vote in. But what I find interesting is the fact that the Democrat enrolled voters don't really seem to have much of a problem with voter ID. A vast majority of Democrats who are voters agree with the idea. But the Democrat politicians, by and large, they have a major issue with voter ID. If you want elections that are freer, that are fair and genuine, why would you oppose something that would likely improve the potential outcome like that? Why would you reject voter ID if you really want fair and genuine elections? And it seems to me, if you're a Democrat politician, you should be joining in a bipartisan way with your colleagues in the GOP and say America is coming together on this issue, joining forces and lobbying together for voter ID in the United States. Why wouldn't you? So next week in Congress, the Republicans advancing what's called the SAFE Act, or the Save America Act, I think it's called, and supporters say it's going to make it easy to vote and hard to cheat. But Democrats are opposing it tooth and nail, to the point where we may have an old-fashioned filibuster. You know, that's where the senators are required to actually stand on the floor of the Senate and talk continuously and not be able to leave to go to the bathroom or go to eat or anything. And they just have to talk and talk and talk. And eventually the theory is that the opposition wears down and you can get a vote. But we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, the Democrats are really swimming upstream on this issue, because you look at any poll by any organization, right, left or center, and the overwhelming majority of Americans, 83%, favor voter ID. 71% of Democrats and 70 to 80% of Hispanics, African Americans, and independents want voter ID. It's a slam dunk. It's almost a 90 to 10 issue. But Democrat leaders, they're just hunkered down. They don't want voter ID. And you just have to say why. What is the motivation? Why can't people identify themselves when they go to vote? And their argument is, well, you're going to disenfranchise African Americans and Hispanics because they can't get ID. And this is a hill they're willing to die on, even though most of their voters don't agree with their position. What rational reason would there be for people to oppose voter ID? What's the motive? I think we know what the motive is. They'll never admit it, but it is easier to cheat. And it's really insulting to African Americans and Hispanics. You know, there's a term for this. It's called the racism of low expectations. And here's what it is. There's a liberal journalist in New York City who wrote this article about how difficult it is for African Americans to find the DMV to get the ID, and difficult for them to have or use computers. And after she wrote the article, she went into Harlem, the black neighborhoods, and she started asking black voters, you know, do you know where the DMV is, and do you have a computer? And she was literally laughed out of Harlem by African Americans. You know, what are you talking about? Why are you saying I don't know where the DMV is, or I don't know how to use a computer, and I can't get an ID? It really is an insult to them. But let's be, you know, honest. It's much easier to cheat in an election if you can. Now, along with this, we have our Nevada Question 7. It's on the ballot this year. That is called the Require Voter Identification Initiative. And it requires Nevada residents present a form of photo identification to verify their identity while voting in person, or to verify their identity using the last four digits of their driver's license or social security number when voting by mail. A no vote opposes amending the Constitution to require that Nevada residents present a form of photo ID to verify their identity while voting in person, or to verify their identity using the last four digits of their driver's license or social security number when voting by mail. I'm just reading the whole ballot question here. In Nevada, a constitutional amendment like this needs to be approved in 2 election years, meaning that question 7 has to be approved in 2024 and 2026. It passed in 2024. Its second vote is going to be held this year. The bill also imposes federal criminal penalties for election officials who allow voter fraud to happen. Despite the knee-jerk objections Democrat politicians have to the concept of voter ID, it's still extremely popular among ordinary Americans for very good reason. Let's go to the phones. Paul is calling from the Virginia City Highlands. Sorry I had to wait so long. I got carried away there, Paul, at 884-9910. I appreciate your calling. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you did get carried away. I'm waiting for you to answer the phone. Very good. So
So you're doing great at getting this out to us, but we need to get it to Masto and Rosen. Ask your voters to call the senators and be polite, but say, why are you voting no on this? This is important. 80% of the country wants it. They're hoping that their constituents aren't paying attention to what's going on right now. They need to know that we know this is going on, and we want you to vote yes on the SAVE Act. They're relying on the their voters that don't know that this is coming up, that this is what's going on, and that this mm-hmm. is sitting there hanging out there. They're voting the party line because they can get away with it because nobody's calling in and telling them to vote yes on this.
I can't imagine what their possible reason is, why Cortez Masto, what reasoning she uses to be against something like that. I will do you one better here. Thanks. I got to run, Paul. Let me bring you up that, let me see, Aaron Ford, who's running for governor. On April 3rd last year, our Nevada Attorney General, Aaron Ford, who's now running for governor, spent his staff and office resources joining California, of course, in suing President Trump to block the president's executive order that would impose voter ID rules across the country, requiring proof of citizenship when Americans register to vote. Aaron Ford, our AG, sued to stop that on April 3rd last year. That's his priority, along with suing Trump to keep trans men in women's sports. He joined New York in suing the president over that, too. Nevadans want those two proposals. We're not on the side of voter fraud and transvestites in women's sports. Let's go to Mark, 884-9910. Hey, Mark, I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Hey, John, I appreciate your show. My opinion, because for the last 3 years, I've worked Washoe County elections, okay? I was an election worker working at the polls. And in my humble opinion, driver's licenses aren't as important as the mail-in ballot issue. And I tell you why. In Washoe County, at least, there's signature verification. And at the polls, I'm pretty confident that the signature verification is doing what it's supposed to. I don't know what it's doing on the mail-in ballots because I don't know if when it goes into the election workers at the county, if they're as proficient as comparing the signatures as what we are in the polling places. I'm going to share another even more important thing with you. Mail-in ballots. I am a registered nonpartisan in Nevada, Washoe County, and last presidential election, I was asked to participate in doing a phone inquiry of people that had voted in Washoe County. I was given a list of people's names and phone numbers who had voted. According to Washoe County, they had voted in Washoe County. I called all 20 of those people, and there were five or six, I don't remember exactly, but there were quite a few people that said they didn't vote in Nevada, and some of them said that they didn't even live here anymore, and two of them, I remember specifically, two of them blamed me for working for the Trump organization and just causing problems. So mail-in ballots are where the biggest chance of cheating, I'll be blunt, is going on, not voter ID. That's my opinion, but it's an educated one.
But you were in the trenches. And let me ask you this. You brought up signature verification. As I understand it, and no local journalist will ask the registrar this question, but from what I'm told is the signature verification scanner can be adjusted to not be very precise, and they apparently adjusted it to not being very precise to handle the deluge of mail-in ballots that came in. They wanted to count them a lot quicker, so the verification signature system was loosened up a little bit to make it faster. Is that true or not?
That I don't know, because I have not ever worked at the county office. I've always worked out at polling places.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Mark, thanks. And what you say about it just not being as secure, my personal story is when I lived in an apartment complex and I went to the mailroom when the ballots were sent out, these mail-in ballots, and I went into the mailroom of this apartment complex I lived in, and they did the same thing with junk mail, the residents. They open up their mailbox. There's junk mail. They toss it without even looking at it into the trash can.
Right.
And I walked into the mailroom, and there were like six or seven ballots just in envelopes lying on the floor of the mailroom of this apartment complex, along with the other junk mail that it got mixed in with. And how easy would that be to grab those ballots and do what, if you had a criminal mind, do with those? I got to run, Mark, for a break. Thank you so much for calling. All right, sir. All right. Keep in touch. We're a final break here. Final segment is next. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1150.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Wow, we're still not in the 30s? 29 degrees, cold day in Reno, current temperature. Let me just wrap up this voter ID thing. Not only is identification required for a very long list of mundane activities, you know, from cashing a check to sign in for a hotel room to boarding a plane, but nearly half of the states in the nation already require voters to provide some official form of photo ID at the polls with little controversy. In other words, it's not just the fringe right-wing conspiracists afraid of voter fraud who think a picture ID might bolster Americans' election security. And as it turns out, even a majority of Democrat voters happen to agree, which is undoubtedly among the reasons a proposed constitutional amendment to enforce such requirements in Nevada is on the ballot again this year. Now, you hear all this griping about, you know, mail-in ballots and everything and election security. Well, John, what's the solution? Well, here's another solution besides voting for the voter ID to stop voter fraud. We also need to have, and this is my own idea, we need to have one-day voting. It's in the Constitution, one-day voting. The election day shall be one day. That's what the Constitution says. So let's get back to the Constitution. Let's get back to the rule of law, and let's have election day. I think it's a great idea also to make it a national holiday. All right? That's one thing that we need to do besides the voter ID. Another thing we need to do is, since we have the problems with the discrepancies and the extra voters and all that, we need to count. We need to vote on paper ballots and count them where they are cast. They should be counted before they ever leave the neighborhood polling place, and that can be done. I remember that's how it was done in the 60s. The election observers would open the back of the voting machine. There'd be one Democrat election observer and a Republican election observer. They'd open the back of the big machine. They'd write down the numbers, and those numbers were called in to the election office. Count the votes on election day. None of this 1 or 2 weeks count in the votes afterwards, because all that 1 or 2 weeks amounts to is an opportunity to bring in as many of these so-called mail-in ballots as they need to get the result that they want. We need to stop that. What do you do with people who are legitimately housebound? We want everybody to have their opportunity to vote, but we also do that through the absentee voting system, and it works. It worked for years. We don't need mail-in ballots. It's not the same thing. Absentee ballots and mail-in ballots are not the same. Absentee ballots track you, and you have to ask for it. They don't just send them out in the mail by the truckloads to whoever. It's accountable. And, you know, we need accountability. And we also need the same thing when, after the election, we need to be able to have the accountability in our elections, and voters should get a receipt, I think, a receipt when they vote. So... Don't ask me a question. I get carried away, get very mouthy. Anyway, I'm so glad you folks survived the deluge, the weather, everybody trading snow war stories. I've got a few, but I'm happy to report this morning that all the roads are open. 80 and Mount Rose are open. Oh my gosh, those closures this week. So many for days. Right now, we have no chain requirements in Nevada. They're all in California. They're 80 is open, doesn't even have the chain requirements anymore, either does 50. Chains are required, or snow tires with four-wheel drive on 28 Kings Beach to Tahoe City. That's alongside the lake on the west side. Route 28, Kings Beach to Tahoe City, and 89 from Donner Pass to Emerald Bay, which, by the way, Emerald Bay is closed, like they close up Bliss State Park each and every winter. That's closed for the rest of the season, I'm sure. And also 89 going north from 80 up into Sierraville is also chains required. Craig Moss, thank you so much for doing a great job over there in Carson City. And I will see you in Carson City. I'm working in Carson City all next week.